Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. As always, we welcome you today. I trust and I pray that your cup is filled and full, running over with the abundant grace of our risen Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. What an exciting time we are living in. What a plethora of events we are witnessing in this end time hour. Perilous days are certainly here. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." My, that is so apropos for this generation. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's only one thing that sets men free: the truth. If you're not getting the truth, you're not hearing the truth, then you have no liberty in your soul, neither in your spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." It's not something that it's a pick and choose, maybe could be multiple choice. Jesus was emphatic when he told Nicodemus, John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That is twofold. I believe it's twofold in that you cannot enter into the kingdom of God spiritually at the second advent of Christ. Neither can you see into the kingdom of God relative to spiritual things on this side of eternity. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, why would I say that? Because of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It is written, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So if you don't have the Spirit of God, which means you must be born again, then you cannot see into the kingdom of God on this side of eternity. John 3:6, Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." You must be born again. Regretfully, today's charlatans, hirelings, do not preach repentance. They do not preach being born again. God accepts you just like you are. As a matter of fact, God made you that way. I profusely loathe that statement that God made men adulterers. God made men liars. God made men homosexuals. No, God did not make men like that. Sin made men like that, not God. I welcome you today to this broadcast. We're going to be speaking to you about witnessing the results of denying the power of God. I just quoted from 2 Timothy chapter 3, but I want to look at verse 5 just for a moment. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." The word power there is twofold, I believe. Dual purpose, dual meaning, in that the power's in the Holy Ghost, and the power's in the Word of God. It is the Holy Ghost that anoints the Word of God to make the Word of God powerful. It's very clear. Very clear. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the dunamis, dynamo, dynamite power that we have as believers, providing we are born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Secondly, the power is in the Word of God. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God is in the Holy Ghost. The power of God is in the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My friend, the Word of God is powerful. So is the Holy Ghost. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I love this next phrase here in Genesis 1. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. The Spirit of God moved. Things begin to change. It's also important to realize the first thing that God created, light. Light that we might see. The light typifies Jesus Christ. John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ is that light. John 1, verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I come to you today with a heavy heart. I come to you today realizing that the results we are witnessing right now is based upon the fact we have denied the power of God. This nation is becoming irrelevant and insignificant by the sovereignty of God. As you witness the situation in the Middle East with Israel, Hamas, the Palestinians, where is America? Where is America? Where's John Kerry? Where's the President of the United States? You've witnessed throughout your lifetime most men as presidents profusely involved in the welfare and care of the nation of Israel. Go all the way back to Jimmy Carter, Menachem Begin. Go back and look at the history. Go back and look at the diplomacy. Yitzhak Rabin, Yasser Arafat, Bill Clinton. Also look at Ehud Barak, Yasser Arafat, Bill Clinton again. There's been an effort in America relative to the welfare of Israel. Genesis 12:3, I'll bless those that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Regretfully, we're becoming insignificant and a mere hissing in the world. Nearly 2 years ago, you heard me begin to use the phrase spiritual membranes. I believe God was giving me insight into what's taking place, and I used the analogy of a man taking his index finger and pushing against a woman's stocking or hose. You press long enough, hard enough, you'll break through. We're pressing profusely against spiritual membranes. There's going to be a rent, there's going to be a tear, there's going to be a rupture, there's going to be a breakthrough. That's what happened in the fall of Lucifer when the sons of God looked on the daughters of men and they chose them wives. They went and broke through the spiritual membranes, the boundaries that God had set. If you don't have my book on the book of Jude, you need to get the book. I go into much detail about these spiritual membranes, these eruptions that took place when God set boundaries and fallen angels crossed those boundaries. Regretfully, humanity today is also desirous to push through these boundaries and erupt into a space, a place that they really don't want to delve into, but they do because they are seeking eternal life without God. That's why men get into these circumstances and situations. They're seeking eternal life without God. God drove Adam and Eve from the garden lest they partake of the tree of life and live eternally in a sinful nature. Man still wants to live eternally, however, in a sinful nature. Hey, live eternally? Live like hell. Gratify your flesh, sexual immorality, drugs, alcohol, pornography, promiscuity, whatever the case might be. Live it. And live it to its fullest, and live it for eternity, yet living it in a fallen state. God will not suffer that in this end time hour. We're on the precipice, needless to say, of a third world war. But as you've witnessed, I was born in 1955. I'll be 60 years old next year. I grapple to embrace that, needless to say, but it's a reality. But in the 60s, prayer was taken out of the school. 70s, promiscuity, drugs, the proliferation of both began to explode. The 80s, the 90s. Now we're into same-sex marriage, gay weddings, et cetera, et cetera. But we have habitually, perpetually gotten into a worse sinful state because we keep renouncing and denying God more and more. We're in the condition, we're in this free fall, all because we're denying the power of God, the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Churches are anemic. They're dead, broke spiritually. They have no value whatsoever to the kingdom of God. None. I say that with sorrow. I say that with remorse. But today's mainline, modern, nominal church is spiritually dead, broke, and worthless to the kingdom of God. People wonder why I'm habitually attacked and assaulted. I preach an uncompromising message, and I preach the Word of God. You don't hear me like Obama. I'm not narcissistic in that I talk about myself. He was quoted as having used the adjective and personal pronouns I, me, and myself 190 times the other day while he was in Colorado. In one speech, 199 times he alluded to himself. Well, that tells you it's all about him. It's not about the people. See, that's deception. That's the same spirit of Satan. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend to the heavens. I. So you understand where that comes from. It comes from Satan himself. The rich man. This will I do. I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger barns. And I will say to my soul, I. God said, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then those things which thou hast provided, whose shall they be? Who'll get your estate when you die? You need to build treasure in the kingdom. You need to sow financially into the kingdom of God, because when you die, you don't know how someone's going to spend your money. I know when my father died, he left all of us a very nice, gratuitous inheritance. But I was the executor of the estate, though I was not the oldest. I was the executor. And my younger brother had a problem with drugs. And my dad told me, before he died. He said, David, your brother Mark has abused drugs all of his life. Until he can live 2 years consistently without any alcohol or drug abuse, don't give him a dime. I don't want my money wasted on heroin, Dilaudid, crack, coke, whatever the case might be. I said, yes, sir. He said, I know what I've done, making you executor of this estate. I said, yes, and you did that because you knew you could trust me. You grappled with the other three siblings, but you knew you could trust me, so you did that. I know why you did that. My dad passed away. My brother had his hand out like my other siblings. He said, where's my share? I said, I'm sorry. But Daddy told me not to give you one dime until you could prove yourself for 2 years without drugs and alcohol. He looked at me and said, do what? I said, Daddy said, do not give you any money for 2 years until you can validate your sobriety. Needless to say, he wanted that nice inheritance, so he got off of drugs and alcohol because he had a reason to get off of them now. I'm saying that to say this. We are losing so much because we're not focused on the kingdom of God. I believe you need to be building treasure in God's kingdom. Because Jesus said in Mark 8, 36, 37, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? You don't take any of it with you. My dad didn't take anything with him but his clothing in the casket. But then the man, of course, the spirit of the man is already gone. It's just a clay jar, earthen vessel in a box. We are witnessing the utter collapse, demise, and fall of this nation because this nation has become more and more godless. Our leaders, look at the bald-faced lying of our leaders today. I don't believe any of them. I say that, though I want to have some type of faith in some of them that I want to believe and feel has a little bit of moral integrity left. But then we don't get any better, we get worse. Asking for $3.7 billion for the illegal immigrants, putting them on airplanes without identification, flying them all over America. But God forbid you try to get on an airplane without any identification. I was angry when I left Bozeman, Montana, following the White Storm Remnant Conference when I went through the airport. An adult male had his hands literally on the inside of my waistline. You talk about provocation. I said, you want me to pull my pants down for you? He said, wouldn't that be silly looking? I said, no more than an adult male putting his hand inside my waistline. Needless to say, the whole crowd froze up. They sensed my disposition. I'm not a criminal. I'm not a threat to this airline. I'm not a threat to anyone, but I resent being funneled like I'm some kind of chattel in this world. But you see, I'm a Christian. You see, that's not happenstance. That's not chance. The devil knows and sees the mark of God, the spiritual mark of God upon his people. Thus, he assaults us every time he gets an opportunity. Yes, I do resent it. I do resent the things that are taking place in this nation. But we are here because of denying the Word of God and denying the power of the Holy Ghost. And might I add, it's only going to get worse because Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The word iniquity there means lawlessness. Even Jonathan Turley, the University at George Washington law professor, said the other day, you cannot get any more liberal than Jonathan Turley. But he said, we're at a tipping point with this executive office, this administration. Lawlessness. You're witnessing lawlessness as never before. How sad. However, you and I break the law, we're arrested and put in jail. Look at the lawlessness of the IRS. The next time you get audited, tell them, I've lost my emails, I've lost my receipts, I've lost my paperwork. Oh, no. Then we'll make up the rules, we'll make up the numbers, and we will penalize you and we will punish you to no end. We'll eviscerate and destroy your life because you, sorry, American citizen, you didn't have backup files, you didn't keep records, it's your fault. Double standard. It's called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And our leaders are the personification of hypocrisy. Now, because we have denied the purity of God's word, we've denied the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost to touch our lives, we are beginning to embrace ungodliness on an exponential scale. It's proliferating uncontrollably. I want to share just a few articles today to demonstrate, to authenticate, to validate the apostasy that is pervading and not only has permeated our nation as a whole, but now it's infiltrating the churches. More evangelicals are embracing gay marriage. Evangelical Christians who in the past have been staunchly opposed to gay marriage are changing their minds about the issue, and there has been a notable increase in the number who now support it. According to Politico magazine, some evangelicals are embracing same-sex relationships in church sermons, conferences, books, arguing traditional scriptural interpretations of gay marriage are misguided and outdated, just as many other cultural views from biblical times are no longer part of the faith. That is a lie straight out of hell. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, and I change not. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. His word does not change. But notice what they said. They're changing their minds about the issue, and there's been a notable increase in the number who now support it. Some evangelicals are embracing same-sex relationships in church sermons, conferences, and books, arguing traditional scriptures. You can put traditional, you can put contemporary, you can put any adjective you want in front of the word scripture to skew it for your own interpretation. But when you get through, folks, it is still the infallible, the immutable word of Almighty God. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said emphatically, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So churches say, just as many other cultural views from biblical times are no longer part of the faith. That is a lie. I did a program with Doug Hagman and Sheila Zielinski Saturday night, Steve and I. We got a lot of response from people because of the purity of the word of the Lord. You know, you listeners know, I preach the word of God. And that's the problem. We are abandoning the true word of God, and the results are the conditions of this present nation. I will never change my mind about same-sex marriage because the word of God has not changed its word. You see, you got to go back to the beginning. God created them male and female, did he not? And so let everything produce after its own kind. You see, they want to tell you that's outdated, but that was how it began in the beginning. Oh, we're evolving, all right. We're evolving into deeper sin and immorality. Evangelical support for gay marriage has more than doubled over the past decade, according to polling by nonpartisan Public Religion Research Institute. One expert predicts those views will only become more common in the coming years. Evangelicals will more or less come to embrace homosexuality in the next 20 to 30 years. Jeremy Thomas, an Idaho State University sociologist who has studied conservative Christians changing attitudes toward homosexuality. Jeremy said, I would put all my money on that statement. What statement? Evangelicals will more or less come to embrace homosexuality in the next 20 to 30 years. If we embrace homosexuality in its entirety, civilization will die out. Why? They cannot procreate. Meanwhile, some Christian pastors and advocacy groups have chosen to tone down their rhetoric on the issue. Renowned evangelical pastor Rick Warren, for example, apologized for endorsing California's Proposition 8, though has stopped short of supporting laws allowing same-sex marriage. Now he says, I was wrong to support Proposition 8, that marriage is between a man and a woman. Sickening. A Southern Baptist in the state of California just the other day recanted on his preaching and conviction. Why? His son came out as a sodomite. Another renowned evangelical in Europe the other day said, after prayerful reflection, I've changed my stance on homosexuality. Sir, I don't want to hear you even talk about praying and talking with God and you embrace an abomination. No, sir. Don't tell me you prayed about it. You've heard me make this statement. If you pray, you quit sinning. You quit praying, you start sinning. Prayer keeps sin out of your life. Prayer keeps your mind, your brain, thinking correctly. Why do you think Paul said in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because the world will dumb you down. The world will make you stupid. When I was a boy growing up in church, it was called holiness and worldliness. Well, let me tell you, the church has become worldly and the world has become churchy. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And it's an abomination in the eyes of God. The article goes on to say, we must prepare people for what the future holds when Christian beliefs about marriage and sexuality aren't part of the cultural consensus, but are seen to be strange and freakish and even subversive. I'm trying to prepare you to tell you it's still wrong. It'll be wrong till Jesus comes. Republican politicians are also backing down on the issue, according to Politico. In some cases, it's a matter of declining to publicly engage or campaign on the issue. In other instances, evangelical groups have chosen to back down from introducing new ballot measures banning same-sex marriage in the 31 states where it continues to be illegal. Now, I shared with you some weeks ago, during the General Assembly of the USA Presbyterian Church in Detroit, Michigan, the body of ministers voted and affirmed that in states where same-sex marriage is legal, you can now go back to those states and perform gay weddings. I wonder what the pastor says. You may now kiss the bride. Which one's the bride? Which one's the bride? Which one's the groom? Let me just give you a measure of insight that I just got unctioned by the Holy Ghost. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Who's the bridegroom in a gay wedding? Who's the bridegroom in a lesbian wedding? See how quickly the Holy Ghost unctioned my mind? The bridegroom? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Which one's the bridegroom? It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And regretfully, this is what's so stunning. It will not get better. It won't get any better. Why? Because there's going to continue to be a decline, a declension in preaching the Word of God. You are witnessing it more and more every day in this nation. It's sorrowful. Even the psalmist, Psalms 19, speaks of the bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And they say, well, the scriptures are no longer relevant. The scriptures are no longer pertinent to the issue. No. The scriptures are still the same. The scriptures are still the same. The bridegroom is the husband. I mean, look it up in the Greek. Look it up in the Hebrew. The bridegroom is the husband. So, when the minister says, you may now kiss the bride, who's the bride? Who's the groom? See? This thing is becoming so skewed. The bride, of course, is the woman that has the veil over her face. The husband is the man, the groom. And we watch the cynicism. And we read these articles like I'm sharing with you, evangelicals are embracing gay marriage, but the scriptures are replete. Let me see if I can find it right quick. I believe it's in Psalms chapter 19. He spoke of Psalms 19, verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Ha! A man a man, as a bridegroom, coming out of his chamber, masculine, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Oh, the masculinity of the bridegroom. We got two little sweet peas who want to get married. My. So they're saying we're going to embrace it. We're going to embrace it. Folks, let me tell you something. You better be careful. You're going to witness more and more heresy, more and more erroneous teachings and doctrines than ever before. Listen to this now. Baptist Church ordains transgender woman. A transgender woman who attended George W. Truett Theological Seminary and pastored a church in Central Texas as a man has returned to the pulpit. Allison Robinson began June 23rd as a transitions pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Washington. The calling is temporary, helping with preaching, mentoring, and pastoral care duties, along with the deacons until the church names a long-term intentional interim pastor, probably this fall. Calvary Baptist reaffirmed Robinson's ordination June the 15th prior to Pastor Amy Butler's departure to become senior minister of the historic and progressive Riverside Church in New York City. Allison Dylan Robinson is a minister of the gospel trained for the task and ordained to the gospel ministry by another community in which she has now served as pastor, Butler said in an ordination litany later posted on her blog. Of course, over the course of her journey, God has invited her to step into the faithful witness of a new identity, a true identity, a new name, she continued, while we have always known her as Allison. She was ordained with a different name. Now watch this. Watch this sinful rhetorical jargon. God has invited her, who's really a man, to step into the faithful witness of a new identity, a true identity, and a new name. Number one, it's only a new identity if you're born again in the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A true identity. That's a lie straight out of hell. How can you be a man and yet say you're a woman and call it a true identity? That's a false identity. And a new name. You can change the name. You can have all the surgical changes you want in your body. And how dare say, God made me this way. What you're saying when you say that is God is messed up. You're accusing God of being messed up. God is not right. God, even his mentation is skewed profusely. I'm a woman, but I'm in a man's body. God didn't do that. Sin, demonic possession, does those things, my friend. It is so sad as we witness this stench. And they try to brainwash you and I and tell us, you have the problem. You're a homophobic. You got a phobia about you because you don't agree with us. You disagree. And because you disagree, you have a phobia. And it's called a homophobic. I need medication, don't I? Well, I need to go to the doctor and say, doctor, I disagree with homosexuality. And he says, well, I'll give you some medicine that'll rewire your brain and make you think it's all right. Because you got a phobia and you need some kind of help because you obviously have a chemical imbalance in your brain because you're opposed to men marrying men and women marrying women. So you got a phobia, sir. Now I'm going to write you this prescription and I'm going to medicate you. And you take it until you say it's all right. What's all right? Same-sex marriage. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's not one thing wrong with you. Oh, the devil will make you think there's something wrong with you because you don't fit into the society of things. Mark 5 and 15, the demoniac at the Gadarenes. And they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Sin will make you stupid. Yes, I said sin will make you stupid. The Greek says the man now had a sound mind. His mind was restored, and he now had self-control. You see, before, he didn't have self-control. How do we know? He had been bound often with fetters, chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him. The fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, glory to God, but when he saw Jesus, afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Praise God, when he saw the light, when he saw the Holy One of Israel, something leaped in his soul, though he was still bound by demons. Jesus Christ came and set the captives free. Hallelujah. That's what homosexuals need. They need to be set free. I don't hate homosexuals. I feel sympathy and empathy and sorrow for them. I do feel sorry for them. Because it's such a repulsing mindset from my perspective to think about me as a grown man wanting to kiss another man with a hairy chest and hairy legs and snuggle up to him. I can't. That's repulsive. That's repugnant. It's detestable. And I feel sorry when God gave us women. Women are the sole lovers of men, and vice versa, men are the sole lovers of women. Not men loving men and women loving women. Now, we do in Christ. Don't misinterpret. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I know there'll be those who will. They always do. But those of you who know the truth know I'm speaking the truth. But women are to be the sole lovers of men, and men are to be the sole lovers of women. That's the way God made it. I shared with you some weeks ago, probably several months now, that it's a universal design. You put a key into a doorknob. You put a key into an ignition switch. You take a male plug on the end of a fan, and you plug it into a receptacle on the wall. Computers have inputs, and you take an output, and you stick into it. It's a universal design. You can't take two cell phones and put them together. They won't hook up, but you have to have a cord with a male end to plug into the female side of the cell phone to charge your battery. It's a universal design that God made. It's with plumbing. There's the male end of a hose pipe, and you screw it to the sprayer, which is a female part. It's a universal design. And you see, when you start embracing this lie, you're saying, oh, well, we need to remake the hose pipes. We need to rechange the receptacles on the wall. We need to change the inputs on a fan or a computer or whatever, a light fixture that you plug into the wall. Everything has to now be changed. If that's true, I have a soundboard here. I have inputs, quarter-inch line jacks, and I have XLR. One is a male, one is a female. It's all over this thing. I take a CD and I put it into the CD recorder. The recorder is the female portion and the CD is the male portion. I slide it in there and start recording. It's a universal design. You take a light bulb and you screw it into a fixture, or you plug it into a fixture. It is a universal design. So is everything like that skewed and we got to change all of that stuff? Even when you put gas in your car. Yeah, something that simple. Folks, don't let them dumb you down. All of this, remember now, all of this is the results of denying the power of God. The results of denying the power of God. I want to share something else today. I've got to hurry on. Pope emphasizes, you cannot love God outside of the church. Pope Francis continued his series of Wednesday general audiences on the church and emphasized that belonging to the church is essential to being a Christian. We are Christians because we belong to the church, Pope Francis said. It's like a last name. If the first name is, I'm a Christian, the last name is, I belong to the church. What a lie. What a lie. Jesus is what makes us a Christian. Then we belong to the body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not a denomination. You see, he says you cannot love God outside of the church, the Catholic Church, the universal church. I want to remind you, when something is universal, that's the broad way. Hello? Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not universal. Everybody is not going to get saved. Now, if you're born again, it would be universal in the sense, if you're born again, you become a part of the body of Christ. But to say you cannot be a part of Christ or you cannot love Jesus Christ outside of the Catholic Church is heresy. Doesn't matter to me what anyone thinks or says. That's why the scriptures in Revelation 17, verse 8, come out of her, my people. She's the mother of what? She's the mother of harlots. September of 2000. I don't know if I have the article close by. September of 2000, Cardinal Ratzinger, who was the previous pope until he resigned, he wrote that in doctrine, the Catholic Church is the mother church and could never be a sister church. I want to say that again. At the time, Cardinal Ratzinger, who became pope and resigned, and Pope Francis replaced him, in doctrinal writing, September of 2000, said the Catholic Church could never be a sister church, but the Catholic Church is the mother church. That is prophetic because Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, the mother of harlots. Now, the word harlots there in the Greek means the mother of fornications. Sad. It's called apostasy. Let me move on. 70 million people would be starving in the streets without government welfare programs. Amid all the talk of recovery by politicians and the economic and big business leaders, the fundamental numbers behind all of the propaganda tell a starkly different story. Home sales have dropped to record lows. More people are out of the workforce than any time in the last 50 years. And cash-strapped customers have run out of money to fuel economic growth. By all meaningful measures, the American boom times of old are gone. A recent report from the Department of Health and Human Services suggests that we may have already reached the tipping point and that things are only going to get worse from here forward. According to HHS, nearly half of all Americans are now dependent on some form of government benefit just to put food on the table. And of our population of over 310 million, nearly 1 in 4 receive welfare benefits. That's over 70 million people who, if the government safety nets broke down due to a lack of funding or monetary crisis, would be starving on our streets right now. The sheer magnitude of the numbers is shocking. What's worse is that they are indicative of a continuing downtrend that won't be improving anytime soon. According to the 2014 version of a report that the Department of Health and Human Services is required by law to issue annually, the percentage of Americans on welfare in 2011 was the highest yet calculated. The data for 2011 is the most recent in the report. Well, you can imagine, it's probably, I wouldn't be afraid to say, 30% worse in 2014 than it was in 2011. By this measure, according to the report, over 23% of Americans were recipients of welfare in 2011. Since 1993, the earliest year covered by the report, that is the highest percentage of Americans reported to be receiving welfare. A startling 38% of all children 5 and under in the United States were welfare recipients in 2011. Folks, this is all because we are denying the power of God's Word and the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, last but not least, before I leave today, drought causes Nevada's Hoover Dam Reservoir to drop to the lowest level since it was filled nearly 80 years ago. Lowest level since it was filled nearly 80 years ago. Now, why is that important? A dear brother, Dan DuPont in California, has sent me numerous articles about the drought, how it's affecting California and different parts in the western part of these United States. Now, here's why that's significant. I'd have to go back and find it. If those of you, and I know some of you do, you keep all my monthly newsletters and you file them away. Go back and find the one that I wrote about this coming drought from Amos chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Amos chapter 4, verse 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you. And there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained withered not. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I shared with you some years ago how that reservoirs and lakes will go dry and empty, and there'll be no water for certain cities and municipalities. And because of that, people will have to leave their cities and move to another city so they can just survive because of a lack of water. They'll have to relocate. But here's the astounding part of that prophecy in Amos 4. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. That's John 4, the woman at the well. Jesus said, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again, but you drink of the water I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Though they will have to relocate to another city, guess what? They don't repent. They don't repent. They don't make it right with God. This is where we're at, folks. People will have to relocate because of a lack of water. And the tragedy is, they won't repent. They're not going to be satisfied. And that was what Jesus told the woman at the well. He made it very clear to her. He said, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman was smart. Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Thank God. John 7:38. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't God gracious to us? Last but not least, John Rivera, president of the Miami-Dade Police Benevolent Association, has warned Florida residents to arm themselves because the police are not coming. He said, we'll not be able to provide you security when the thing collapses. Folks, this is all the results of denying the power of Almighty God. You cannot forget God. You cannot renounce God. You cannot refute God's word and expect the continued blessings of God on this nation. It is a grave tragedy as to what we're facing. And with all sincerity, and I hate to say this, but it's the truth, it will not get better. It will rather get worse. I pray today that the scriptures I have shared with you have edified and strengthened you, and as well as convicted you of little sins that Satan may be trying to put into your life, because they are gross. Any sin is gross. Don't ever forget that. Pray for this ministry, please. Pray that God will strengthen me. Pray that God will keep me, that I might always come to this microphone and preach to you, the listener, an uncompromised message. Stand with us. Pray with us. Hold my hands up in prayer. God, say, God, anoint Pastor Lankford to preach continued an uncompromising message to the sinful world. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Lankford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.